in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. Kind of a tough weekend to be a Bison edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. I am your host, Ross Uglum, and that's not something that is said around here very often. Joining me to kick off the show is North Dakota State football analyst and multiple-time national champion Trevor Gebhardt. Trev, like I said, most days it's a great day to be a Bison, and I'm not sure Saturday was one of those days.
Well, there's going to be a lot to unpack, and we'll get into that. First things first, it is March. It's a beautiful time of year. Theoretically, we have March Madness back, so I'm going to celebrate in that.
Yeah.
My second child's going to be born this month, so that's going to be exciting. So there are still some positives, despite the fact of, you know, not a great day or really a great weekend for Bison Athletics as a whole. And before I deep dive into it and give my take, this is in no way, shape, or form going to be a disbelief in what this group is capable of doing. If I sat here and gave my laundry list of concerns, which I will, and it might get uncomfortable for a few people, it wouldn't be giving credit to what the guys in that locker room have done in the past. These guys have won national championships, plural. These guys have been there, done that. And to say that we completely disbelieve of what they are capable of doing and what their goal ultimately is, which is getting number 9, that's not the point of that, of what we'll get into. These guys are more than capable. And I truly still believe in them because they're too talented not to. Now, with that being said and that established, in order for that to happen, there is a lot of things that need to be fixed. And it's not necessarily just with the wins and losses. What I'm talking is more intangible stuff. Things like wanting to be there. Because I don't know if the weather lulled them to sleep or what was going on in Carbondale. It was like nobody wanted to be there. Where was the energy? And the amount of guys that reach out to me, the former players, is pretty astounding. And that's where it's uncomfortable, because what I'm seeing, I'm not a lone soldier. And like I said, this isn't about wins and losses. Guys, North Dakota State's going to lose football games. You know, this stuff is, you're not going to have a 100-game win streak and everything's, you know, rosy and cozy. That's not why you get into this. You play ball because you want to go to battle and war with your brothers. You play ball for North Dakota State because you want to play hard-nosed, fast, physical, attention to detail, disciplined football. And you know that formula, when executed, leads to success and wins and championships and all the fun stuff that comes with it. But it starts with digging deep and finding why you came to North Dakota State in the first place. Because if you came to North Dakota State to wear a jersey and to flash a ring, the result that you got on Saturday is what's going to be repeated. Find out why you came to North Dakota State. It's to play for your brothers. It's to play hard, nose fast, physical, disciplined football that takes attention to detail every single day, not just on Saturday. And people aren't going to roll over. Newsflash. People aren't going to roll over for the Bison. They don't want to see the Bison win. Go take a look at the rankings. I believe NDSU's ranked, what, 6th? Which I find preposterous, because you have how much history there and how many games and years and wins in your back pocket to go, okay, hey, there's some credibility here. There's still some guys that can play ball. We had an awful Saturday. But hey, remember, we haven't lost a game in 3 calendar years, even though we had a really, really bad day. And they dropped to 6. That tells you where people want to see you. So I hope that lit some fires behind some people, players, coaches, everybody. And I'm not in the locker room. I don't know exactly what's being said. I'm rooting for them, and it's frustrating because I think the thing that everybody is seeing was a lack of effort. There was no fight. You and I were talking before we started here. We lost to Youngstown in 2011. We lost to Indiana State in 2012. And we lost to Northern Iowa in 2014. And the one thing that we had in those games was a lack of execution and a lack of attention to detail in the week leading up to that contest. There was still fight. A tremendous amount of fight. Brock Jensen and I still talk about Indiana State in 2012 that we were about 2 feet from completing a pass with about a minute to go to win us that football game. The defense was bailing us out all day, and we couldn't connect on one play. We were still fighting. We were awful. It was probably our worst game. And had we won that game, I don't even know what the win streak back then would have been, maybe 50. But that's beside the fact. It's not about wins and losses. It's about fighting every play, fighting every week, and then how you respond. So I am excited to see this group be challenged because they haven't been. Coach Entz, I believe, said it best in the postgame when he said there's 2 guys on the program that have lost a football game. Think of how crazy that is.
Yeah.
2 guys. So this one's going to hurt, not just as fans, not just as analysts, not just as former players and members of the program. That locker room, if you don't think that they're looking at each other going, we got to do better, I think you're sorely mistaken. They're used to a certain level of success, and they hold themselves to that standard. I truly believe that. How do they respond, and how do they react? Do not let the same team beat you twice, and you better come up swinging. And you better be playing for your brothers, because that's what's going to get you through. All right, that rant's over. We gotta move on to more positive, because I'll keep going for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we have you here, man. As long as I've been attached to the program, and honestly, just talking about how cool it was on Bison Report to get interactions from Ben Onneman and Tim Strelo. I mean, that's how long I've been attached to the program. When I was 10 years old, you know, that 98, 99, 2000 team that should have won a Division II championship and just never did with Lamar Gordon, being their star. But, you know, I was never that level of athlete. I played golf at Concordia, as many people know. I did not put on the green and yellow. And so your perspective and your friends and the guys that you shed blood, sweat, and tears with, your reaction to everything that happened on Saturday is important. I want to say something, though, and I appreciate everything you just said. In general, though, And I think you can attest to this, everybody needs to take a little bit of a step back, especially when you look at the comments. And I know you never go to the comments section, but Facebook, Twitter, everyone needs to understand that there are multiple championship seasons, 5 of the 8 that have a loss in them. The sky is not necessarily falling because North Dakota State lost a football game. You do not have to bench everybody because they lost a football game. You don't need to fire the offensive coordinator because they lost a football game. That said, this, in your opinion, is a little bit different because of the lack of a punch back, because of the what appeared to be lack of fight, lack of energy, and in NDSU losses in the past, whether you're talking about 2017 in South Dakota State or some of the losses that you guys suffered, there was always a fight to the end. There have not been a lot of Bison games in the last 10 years that you know are over midway through the third quarter.
Yeah, I mean, You're exactly right. I do agree that people do need to take a step back and take a look at the whole picture, because these are kids. These are people. They're men that are learning, and through the sport of football, they're learning about life through the sport of football. And winning and losing is not the only thing we need to look at. We get caught up in that because of how much success North Dakota State has had and what the expectation is, because that is kind of the standard. Not kind of, it is the standard. But the one thing and the one consistent variable in that culture has been a willingness to compete. And my senior year, Coach Polisek, the offense still uses it because of T-Roll, my man T, is compete and improve with urgency, passion, and enthusiasm, consistently with the Foxhole mentality to protect the Bison and what the program stands for. That is etched into my brain. I ripped that off from memory. That was void. And that's where the concern is. I think a lot of people see that and they get attached to a player, a coach, or a result. And yes, that is a measuring tool. But even had they won that game, which I'm glad they didn't because they didn't deserve to, I'd still have the same concerns. I didn't see leadership, Ross. I didn't. And that's where my blood gets boiled, and that's why I got – here's the different means of communication I received from former players. Twitter messages, phone calls, text, Facebook message, and even a Snapchat from former players.
I shouldn't laugh, but yeah. I get, you know?
I'm glad I could provide some comedic relief on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Hopefully there's no United States Postal Service standard mail waiting for you. Somebody maybe wrote you a letter.
Sad thing is, I wouldn't be surprised with how far I live from most people. Yeah. But that's what the concern is. And I think those guys know that. I don't want to sell them short and to say, hey, I'm bringing you breaking news, guys. You better listen to what I have to say because, you know, I've experienced, lived it, and done it. So you have to do it the way I did. No, that's not the point. We're here to talk about it and to give the fans an inside view. And I truly believe that these kids know that. They need to experience that low, let it hurt, let it simmer. And then how do you respond? I am excited for Saturday because, and I feel bad for Missouri State.
We're
going
to learn a lot.
They will. We will learn a lot. They will learn a lot. And we're going to see where this team is going to be for this spring season. And I don't think that game will define this group. It could if they let it, if they want to continue to go down that path and turn on each other. Because if that's what they do, you're going to continue that, and it'll be 2009 all over again. And this group is way too talented. This group has way too much potential for that to be satisfactory. That's just not okay. So we will certainly see what happens. I think Ent said it in the presser, and I believe it was tweeted on the Bison Report page yesterday or the day before. It got uncomfortable in the meeting room. It got very uncomfortable. And that's okay. It's going to happen. Sometimes you have to experience that and evaluate it because you haven't seen it in three calendar years. And that's okay. But now where do you go? Are you going to compete and improve with urgency, passion, and enthusiasm? Or are you not going to swing? So we'll see where that goes. Ironically enough, our last winning streak, imagine that. Our last winning streak in 2014 when we got beat by Northern Iowa, we got pounded too that day. We got pounded. That whole week was bad. The execution was bad. We still had a fight. We were doing our damnedest to win that game. David Johnson and company, they were hot. They played really well. We didn't deserve to win that day. And we came out the next week at Missouri State, ironically enough, and righted the ship.
They seemed to get they seemed to get that unfortunate task of keeping the Bison down.
Yeah, well, I guess you draw the short stick sometimes twice. So we'll see what happens in Springfield. I'm excited because I want to see who emerges as a leader, and I want to know who is still fighting for the Bison and what the program stands for.
So, I mean, and so that's why I asked Matt that, because here's my number one and number two concern. And I'm not in a position like you are, like the coaching staff is, to be taken seriously when I challenge people. But that is what I think the challenge is, and what I would challenge some of the junior and third year, which would be redshirt sophomore, but some of the sophomore and junior class that are now in their third and fourth years in the program, that's their charge now, is leadership. And that's what I didn't see, and what you didn't see on Saturday, was who was rallying the troops, who was saying this stops now, this stops here. I need to see that from Jasir Cox. I need to see that from Jackson Hankey. I need to see that from Spencer Wagey. I even need to see that from Michael Tutsi, who was just destroyed after the game. And you could see on his face how unacceptable that performance was to him. But they got to do something about it. And I think the same applies to the Cody Mauchs and the Cordell Volsons, and obviously the Zeb Nolans on offense. And that is where I think we saw a major void, in your opinion and in mine, was leadership and the streak stopper, if you will. You know, who's your ace? What pitcher do you have in your rotation that stops the losing streak in that game and says no more? And honestly, Christian Watson has been in the program long enough where he should be able to put his foot down and say no more. Yep. And look, I said this to you in the pre-production meeting. It's going to be a theme in Upon Film Review. It is not this group's fault that Dylan Radins, Carson Schoening, Trey Lance, and Jabril Cox are not coming through that door. It's not their fault. Okay.
Right.
I think someone kind of got in Jabril's ear, and I'm happy for him, because you know what? His experience at LSU and him proving that he was the best player on that defense was a big deal for him. He has the rings. There wasn't a ton more he could have proven at North Dakota State. But the idea that this team would not be better without him is inaccurate. They would be a lot better if 42 was still there. Dylan, Carson, and Trey, that is all a loss due to COVID. Would we as a program, as the North Dakota State Bison, still likely have lost Trey Lance to this draft? Yeah. But he also would have started 16 other games. We would have 16 more games of Trey Lance in the tank. And the same goes for Radins and Carson Schoening. They would have played a real fall season. You know, and we would have likely, I think, even with this performance that we just saw, I think we still would have been celebrating a ninth national championship. We'd be, you know, two months almost removed from that. But I think they would have gotten it done. I think they still might get it done, as do you. Because of the talent level.
Right. And well, that's why I want to set the tone beforehand before I went on my rant, because it's not rocket surgery, as one man once told me. It's not rocket surgery to figure out that there are some things that this group needs to figure out. And that's okay. Things don't have to be perfect. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
And you know, oh yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, so the ultimate message there is it's not their fault that those guys aren't there, but it is now their problem. It is their problem to fix the fact that that leadership void and those super duper stars are not walking through that door. It's not right. Their fault, but it is their problem.
Yeah, it's same concept similarly to 2013 to 2014. There were a lot of questions in how we move forward. It was just unprecedented territory at the time.
Marcus, we lost Billy, 20, Brock.
Yeah, 24 seniors and a coaching staff. Us in the locker room were going, hey, we won those national championships too.
Yeah.
You know, so we know how to get it done. Same thing with these cats. These guys know how to get it done. They're way too talented. And that's the frustrating thing about it. It's almost like they're sacrificing their gift. Maybe, hopefully, fingers crossed, it was just for one Saturday. I believe that will be the case when we take a look back, and we're going to laugh and be like, man, remember how bad that was?
Boy, were we freaked out. Yeah.
Yeah. But rightfully so, because if they lose the game, even if they lose by 20 points, whatever it is, if they were doing everything they could. And you saw visible frustration and people trying to lift each other up and guys trying to throw haymakers and maybe just, you know, fumbling the ball at the wrong time. Things just sometimes don't go your way. And that's fine. It just doesn't need to be a recurring theme of the type of effort that happens after things don't go your way. So you have a massive group of guys who have won a lot of football games, who have won national championships, and who are more than capable of repeating that same result. It ain't going to happen.
Or go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was just going to wrap up with this. It ain't going to happen, like I've said over and over on this pod, if you're not fighting for your brother and wanting to win for the green and gold.
So here's my number two biggest concern from that game. And that's, I was not concerned after Youngstown. And I know a lot of people were because they didn't feel like the passing offense was great. They only got to 25. Zeb doesn't look like Carson Easton and Trey. Guess what, folks? That's college football. I could go on a rant about how spoiled we've been at quarterback, but I think I already did.
That was game one, too. Like, give me a rest.
Right. He hadn't started a game since 2018. Here we are in spring of 2021. There are a lot of excuses on the table for Zeb Nolan. I told you to bug me about Zeb after game three. I kind of mean that now. I mean, we're two games in and it hasn't been there. So we'll actually call that concern number three. And I'm happy to be proven right because I was very pro Zeb before the season. I think based on my conversations with our staff that he'll be fine. But now I'm starting to have a question mark at the end of he'll be fine instead of a period. It used to be he'll be fine. Now it's he'll be fine. And there is a big difference there. My number two concern behind leadership, though, was physicality. And that's why I wasn't concerned after Youngstown. They beat the hell out of Youngstown. You go back and watch that film, and then even if you go in the inside the numbers, which I did with the Pro Football Focus College and their grading of the game, the top five grades for PFF College were all five of North Dakota State's offensive linemen. Three of the top four grades on defense were defensive linemen. They dominated Youngstown State up front. They were physical. And that was what threw me about the whole thing was that Southern Illinois physically got their ass kicked by less talented young men up in Grand Forks and then gave it to the Bison in Carbondale. It made no sense. And that's effort. That's being locked in, being prepared. That's energy. That's pride. And so the physicality concerns me greatly because they whipped Youngstown's ass up front. There were guys on the ground. You watch some of those Kobe and Jalen Bussey long runs. There are penguins in the turf. And that did not happen at all on Southern or at SIU. I don't think the offensive line played well. I know the defensive line didn't play well. The Bison have to be the more physical team to play their brand of football. And beyond leadership, beyond nobody stopping the bleeding, that's my number one concern, is that they didn't whip anybody's ass on Saturday.
Well, No, you're exactly right. And you take a look at some of the numbers. They had just over 5 yards. 5 yards a carry, and which is inflated because of, was that Bussey's run at the end when they scored that drive? Yeah, so that's inflated. So you could say right at 5 yards a carry, just shy of that. It's a true picture of the game. UND rushed for six on them, I believe we talked about last week on the pregame pod. And when you do a side-by-side comparison, that's not what you would expect. So I don't know where the tone gets set within that. I don't know if it's because you have limited fans. You're used to, as a group and a program, things being a little bit more amplified when you show up because of who you are and because of your rating and because of your history and et cetera, et cetera. So I don't have the answer for that. It is frustrating. I would say, even when we talk about, what about pass pro?
Yeah. It's a huge problem.
It's young guys. That's hard. It is hard. I don't know. I love you, Croc, but John, I don't know if you ever got past Bro Down. You were a phenomenal running back, and I love springing touchdown runs for you, buddy. I don't know if he ever got it down.
Right.
So even one of the greatest running backs in school history didn't get it down. So that's got to get cleaned up. It's physicality as a whole, even on the edges. I've seen clips, the Cole Jacob one from, I think, the Central Arkansas game in the spring. I raved about it on Twitter. Find that.
Yeah.
It takes one. And then to touch on the Zeb thing, he's just got to get rhythm. He needs confidence. It's like he doesn't have confidence. Step up and make a throw, man. You can spin it. Yep. He did it a few times. He completed a Hail Mary, for goodness sakes. So get a few connections with number one. That kid's a freak athlete. Those two got to get on the same page in some capacity. Just something's got to click. Just something. There needs to be a clicking moment with all of it.
And here's I want to dive a little bit deeper into that rushing. So just so you guys know how skewed that Bussy run is, because of the game script, NDSU only ran 45 offensive plays, 24 Zeb dropbacks, and 21 rushes. You take 21 carries for 120 yards, and it seems fine at 5.2. You take a 63-yard Jalen Bussy run out of that, and you've got 20 carries for 57 yards and a 2.7 yards per carry average. You've got a 3-yard average for Kobe Johnson, a 3.7-yard average for Dom Ganella, 2 carries for 2 yards for Cam Miller, and then there's obviously the gain and the lost net with sacks and stuff with Zeb. That doesn't work. You cannot rush for 2.7 a carry. Even if you break the big one, that's fine. But North Dakota State's offense is based on possessing the football and pounding away at you. And if you're only averaging 2.7 yards per carry, if your top back, which is Kobe right now, is averaging 3 a carry, you're not sustaining anything, especially when the passing game isn't in rhythm yet. Okay, I think we're 26 minutes into the show, just about 27. Let's try and paint a picture moving forward, because I think that's as much as people probably downloaded this show and wanted to hear us vent and wanted to get on the Bison therapy train. I think we need to now therapy them. I think we need to provide a path forward. Why is there still hope? Why is all not lost? What needs to happen? So in your opinion, what does need to happen, and what is the path forward here?
You need to have a phenomenal week of practice. You need to have, which we won't see. You need to have guys building each other up. You're at a low point. And you said with Michael Tutsi, you could see the visible frustration with him on the sideline, at least in the broadcast. So you know guys are hurting. Find a way to pick each other up. And that's going to build that trust. And when you build that trust, that's just going to want to make you play harder on Saturday. So I think that's first and foremost. Dive deep into the brotherhood. Dive deep into why you came to North Dakota State. And then from there, a tremendous amount of focus. Just get in rhythm. Make completions. Sustain drives by converting third downs and getting on the field. You take a look at the time of possession. It was so skewed, it was unbelievable. And usually you see that with Bison blowouts when the starters are pulled at halftime. So sustain drives. And then likewise, get off the field on third down. I go back and look at Southern Illinois. They were 11 of 16 on third down conversions. That's something we're not used to seeing. So win third down. Practice that. Practice third down ad nauseum every day. And then just get points on the board and build from there. It's little stuff. Just go back to the basics and play fast. And I think N said it on the presser, we're going to shorten the playbook and we're going to play fast. And that's what they got to do. And I think that's the right call, because you have so many talented players in that building. Cut the cord loose and go play football and then get a win. Because letting a team beat you twice, which is very common in college, will absolutely derail this season from your goals. You can afford maybe one more loss to get into the playoffs in the Valley. Maybe. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I think everyone's probably going to get a loss, maybe two. The Valley's wacky, as we know. History has a tendency to repeat itself. So you're going to Springfield on the road again. You have to refocus, galvanize, and travel in an environment that is not what you're used to, which is very upbeat, hostile, etc. You might get some warmer spring weather that could lull you to sleep, just like it did in Carbondale. So create your own energy as a group and come out swinging, because your backs are against the wall. It's a different season. It's unique. And you're in a tough position, but nobody's going to have any sympathy for you. Everyone wants to beat you and see you fall, and it's evident in where the rankings are. Use whatever bulletin board material that you have to, because there still are a lot of people that believe in you, myself included. So have a great week of practice. Pay attention to the little details and correct them. Don't make the same mistakes twice. If a coach is telling you something, listen to it. And you'll find a way to right the ship. I can promise you that. If you do those things, you will right the ship.
Yeah, situational football is huge. You dive into the stats. This one threw me for a loop. The difference in yards per play, and I don't think anybody would guess this, the difference in yards per play was NDSU 6, SIU 6.1. The difference in the game was the fact that SIU ran 73 plays and North Dakota State ran 45. You want to know why that is? Situational football. The inability to get off the field on defense on third down and the inability to stay on the field on offense if you're the Bison. Now, of course, turnovers kill you. Zeb threw an interception. Zeb fumbled the ball. And at the same time, I think that yards per play is obviously skewed by a 63-yard Jalen Bussey run when you're only running 45 plays. But it's a team that has a chance to get it figured out. They have the time to get it figured out. I think this is a very winnable game. Then you've got Illinois State and UND at home, back in the friendly confines. A UND team, by the way, now ranked ahead of North Dakota State. If that doesn't get your blood boiling as a Bison, you're in the wrong program.
That's the bulletin board material I was talking about. We're sitting here having a...
That should be on, and I know they probably don't believe in this kind of thing. That should be on the locker room door with a yellow highlighter where UND is and a yellow highlighter where NDSU is. And that if you understand these two programs, you understand this program, you shouldn't need any more than that.
Right. We've sat here and said everything negative under the sun that we possibly could think of. But I think I mentioned earlier in this pod too, how do you not give credit to what the program has done? Apparently Northern Iowa gets that grace. Apparently Northern Iowa does. They lose a game to South Dakota State. South Dakota State drops the next week to UND, and everyone's singing the Fighting Hawks graces. I mean,
because they won two home games.
I get what things look like on Saturday. If you're going to go by what things look like on Saturday, take the Bison out of the top 10, because that's the truth. If we're going to go by recency bias, which is we get caught up.
There's so much recency bias in the poll.
Yeah, there's always recency bias in sports. If that's how we're going to play this, then take the Bison out of the top 10. Just do it. Because they were not a top 10 team. So on the same time, you'd be very naive to realistically think that is the case or to not have them favored against a UND team. So it's very backwards. You put UND at what? Where are they at? Four?
Four. And NDSU's at six.
Yeah. And Northern Iowa is three and South Dakota State is somewhere in the top 10, eight, nine.
I haven't looked at the poll. I don't know. Yeah.
South Dakota State beat Northern Iowa.
Yeah.
Northern Iowa's ahead of them because of whatever. But you go from 1-6 because, well, that's what people want to see.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, take polls out. I don't necessarily like them, but use them as you see fit. We don't need to go down that rabbit hole. But it will be important for playoff seeding and ranking as we get down the road. So you got to start stacking wins because it is a shortened season. So your resume opportunities are shrinking.
Yeah, two losses is a big deal in a shortened season. I think they do get credit for the UCA win. I think that's part of this season. And that's a top 12 win. That's a big deal. If we're now talking about making the playoffs, which is not a normal North Dakota State thing. But going back to that game too, look, Cody Morgan and Dave Braun have work to do. They got cooked up by a 5'9" backup quarterback in SIU. And that kid might go on to have a very nice career. And Avante Cox and Lenore are good players. But that's not Bison football. And that's the second out of three games that the secondary has looked highly suspect. I understand that they need to get Dawson Weber back. But other than that, there aren't any more corners walking through that door. Nobody's going to come and save the cornerback room from playing that way. Josh Hayes has been great. But Destin Talbert and Jaden Price, as Ents put it, need to grow up. And I don't mean that in a maturity standpoint necessarily. They need to develop as players and they need to do it quick because Marquise Bridges is not walking through that door and they are, you know, they're the guy. You're the guy now. And
the one thing, sorry to cut you off there. The one thing it wouldn't hurt to look at is it's not necessarily apples to apples in terms of position relatability, but go look at like what Jimmy Football used to do. That guy used to anticipate better than anyone I've seen. And that's how they need to start thinking. They need to start anticipating things. Don't sit there and think that, okay, you're going to have all the right answers, but you're brought there for a reason. Go be an athlete. You know when things are coming. Dive into the film a little bit more. Dive into that. And you'll pick up on tendencies and you'll know where guys are going to be and when. And you'll put yourself in better positions to make plays.
And defensive side of the ball too, that's the number one difference, I think, in what I saw with the play calling. And I don't want to be play calling guy. I hate play calling guy. But the call sheet seemed a ton smaller against Youngstown. They really seemed to play a lot of their cover two. I thought that over and above, they stayed, and this was confirmed by players in our conversations that week, after that week. They did not call a ton of different defensive looks against Youngstown. And it allowed this young group to play fast and play confidently and play up to their ability. Maybe in late April, you can go back with the funky looks and play a ton of things that these guys – but you're working in transfers like Braden Thomas and Michael Buto. You're getting Wagey back. This is still only the third – game. Now will be the fourth game that the Kaiser Cox Hankey group has played at linebacker together. Go back, coaches, to the simple things. In my opinion, go back to your base calls, play your base calls well. And if you need to dial up some pressure, that's great. But they played so well. And I think it's clear too with what happened this week to Youngstown State that they're just not very good offensively. But go back to your good tape. They played so well when they were allowed to play fast and play their base stuff and do what they know how to do. I think that was better. But we gotta wrap this baby up. Hopefully we'll have Trev back later in the week to preview the game against Missouri State. But I feel like this was healthy. I feel like this is something that Bison Nation will appreciate.
Yeah, I think people needed it. I think people needed to hear it because there are a lot of frustrations that do need to be brought to the table, and it's okay to make it uncomfortable at times. Shoot, we went through a coaching staff change in the middle of a playoff run. You think that was comfortable?
Yeah.
So, but you tend to grow from those things because that playoff run was pretty extraordinary, and it was unprecedented territory at the time, and we were able to have our closest game be 28 points in the playoffs, knowing our coaches were leaving us because you galvanize as a group. And you overcome adversity and you find a way because that's just what Bison do. So I firmly believe in this group. I love every single one of them. We're in a fraternity like no other. And we understand things to a certain level, even if I haven't spoken to you, more so than most. So still believe in this group. Still want to see them live up to their ability and what I know they expect of themselves.
All righty. Folks, thanks so much for listening. Have a great week and go Bison.